we go on with Isaiah, and we end the missionary discourse in St. Matthew. Isaiah has a typical prophetic understanding of the risk we run in not putting our heart in what we do. There was a splendid sacrificial system prescribed by God. God gave them this sacrificial system. And he gave it to them through a charismatic understanding of Moses, who founded it, and it was carried on. Because how you worship is how you believe, and how you believe is how you live. And so if your life of worship is not right, the rest is off. All the nations around Israel had powerful acts, ceremonies, lives of worship, but they were all wrong. And as one of the prophets says, you're really worshiping demons, but you don't know it. And so it was extremely important that there be a right sacrificial system, because when that's off, the people are off. We see that today, don't we? I mean, how many intricate, glorious ceremonies are all over the place, but they're all in honor of demons. Now, we're into meditation a lot, you see. I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious, is what a lot of people say. Well, the point I'm trying to make today is that this sacrificial system was given to God's people by God himself. It really was founded by Moses. And the incredible charisms that were granted to these people to keep this, so the system, the sacrificing of animals, was the same as everybody else's. What made it the people unique, as they say, was that it was monotheistic. You worship this God and no other God. And that it was tied to morality. You see, for most people, religion is to maintain the good order of the universe. There are forces out there, thousands of them. Just ask the people who practice Reiki. There's thousands of forces out there. And you got to find a way to keep them all in balance so that you can have a comfortable, prosperous life, because this is all you got. And that's the role of religion. Morality, that's handled in the Greco-Roman culture, that's handled by the philosophers, not by the religious. The notion that worshiping God, you see, one true God, and giving him your whole heart, as the psalm says here, you see, he who offers praise as a sacrifice of glorifies me, and to him who goes the right way, I will show the salvation of God. The combination of moral correctness and worship is what characterizes revealed religion. So these excoriations of the prophets are, you have divided once again the practice of religion from the practice of morality. So you have all these things God-given, but your heart's not in it. And, you see, as he says, you know, here in Isaiah, you see, the more you pray, I won't listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves clean. And then, you see, it goes on and will go on to talk about care of the poor. That's what matters. See, morality, you know, begins by taking care of those who need help. James says, right? Isn't this religion? Take care of the pure, the poor and the orphan, and to keep yourself spotless from this world? This is religion. I say that because it's important to grasp, you know, the prophetic message, which is certainly for us as well. We can have very ornate ceremonies, and these now are sacraments. And our heart is not in it. And that would be wrong. And if you want a nice meditation on that, you could read yourselves Psalm 50, which is the psalm they use between the readings, you see. It starts, you know, God comes in glory and he shines and he gathers the whole universe together. And then he talks to his people. And first, he talks to those who are doing all this sacrificially. I said, I don't need that. You think I drink the blood of these goats? I mean, I don't need that. And then he turns to the others. As it says here, not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. I take from your house no bullock. Then he turns to the other crowd. And he says to them, why do you recite my statutes and profess my covenant with your mouth, though you hate discipline and cast my words behind you? When you do these things, shall I be deaf to it? Do you think I'm like yourself? That you can impress me? Well, you can't. I want truth. And that's the message of the first reading, and of course then the psalm, which usually comments on that and makes a transition. So for us, you see, it's a question of letting the Holy Spirit shine the light of the Word of God on our heart. And then what the gospel is telling us makes some sense. This is the conclusion of the missionary discourse, as I think I mentioned. He says, look, I didn't come to make everybody comfortable. I didn't come to create shalom and your idea of shalom. In fact, things are going to be disturbing at times. And then he alludes to a text in Micah that a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, her mother, which is pointing to the tension and the last times, and saying, the last times have started. I'm here. And then he goes on, you see, remember, we're all missionaries. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and goes on through son and daughter. And who doesn't take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. These are very, very demanding remarks of our Lord. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now this is an address of love. He's saying, I have a treasure for you. You'll find your life. And it's in me that you'll find your life. It'll give you confidence and peace no matter what happens in your life. And, now this is addressed to all missionaries, but remember, we're all missionaries. And the apostles are, of course, special. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. So he's saying to everyone who goes out and tries to preach the gospel, if they listen to you, ultimately, they are listening to my Father. That's awesome. I don't know, it comes to mind when I was doing my studies, this German white father, a buddy of mine, we used to sit together, and he was on his way to Africa. And he told me, he said, about 70% of us get sick within the first 5 or 8 years and have to either come home or spend the rest of our life in the mission lands, you know, debilitated by illness. And he knows this, and he's on his way. I mean, the water, the food, the climate, the what, besides the demonic opposition. You see, and you can imagine then a man like that, whoever receives him receives Jesus. Whoever receives Jesus receives the Father. But it can be true of every one of us. Huh? Well, those are the readings for the day. You notice, while we're in this sort of summertime, the readings don't sort of go on vacation. You know, they keep us pretty challenged every day. So let us pray. Let us pray, stand and pray.